Okay, we have the Perek Lamed Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Bachuri Oben Ufi Vesa, Veses. Perek Lamed Pasuk, and Pasuk Yud Zayin, in the middle of discussing another one of the prophecies, the many prophecies describing the fall, the downfall of Egypt. And here it says in this Pasuk that Bachuri, the young men of Oven, Oven is the name of a city. And over here, on Lefarsh, they tell us that this is the city of On. In Chumash, the Kohen, where does it say the Kohen Om?
Oh, no.
By Yosef.
Yeah, Kohen Om,
the
Isha. Yeah, Kohen Om.
He married
Ishpat. Osnas Kohen Om. So his father was the Kohen of On? Okay, so it says here the Bachuri Oven. Over here, even though it's pronounced with a segel, Oven. However, the Mepharshim say it refers to the city in Egypt called the city of On. Ufi Veses. Veses is one. It's one city. Ufi means the mouth of Veses, but it's really
old.
On Ben Peles. Peles. It's different. Peles.
I know.
Okay, but over here, but these are On Ben Peles. Who's that guy from the Nesim?
Bnei Reuven.
On Ben Peles. So interesting. Peles. All right, but anyway, it's one name. Really, even though here in this pasuk there is a mesek, there is a mesek, which connects these two words to being really it's two words. One word is a long mincha shai. Long mincha shai here, trying to analyze: is this one word or is this two words? Any event, it's basically the name of a city. Okay, there's a city in Egypt called Oven, which is really rooted in the ancient city of On, and there is a city called Phi Veses, and this is the name of the city. It's not exactly clear, but that's how it's spelled. So it says, Bacherev Yipolu, these people, the Bachurim, will die by sword, Veheina. Now, Veheina is feminine. So what's the feminine? It should say Veheima. Why does it say Veheina? So it refers to their wives. Bashvi Selachna will go in captivity as slaves. So the young men will be killed and their wives will be taken hostage, will be taken away as slaves in captivity. That's one interpretation of Vehena. Lashon Nekeva refers to the city itself, the inhabitants, the slaves. Vehena, when you an ear, can be Lashon Zachar or Lashon Nekeva. So then Vehena will refer to the city, the remnants, the survivors will be taken away as captives. Let's see Pasuk Yudches. Uvisach Uvischaf Neches. Oh, so that's not that's what I was trying to say. Okay, that's what I was trying to say, but that's not what it says here. Here the Nikud is Uvischaf Neches. Obviously, the fact that the word is a long word with a prefix and v'chulu, so the vowels change. Obviously, it's the city of Sach Pas Sach Panches, but that's not the way it's vowelized here. Chosach Hayom, and this is very, very interesting. Over here it says Chosach. Chosach, again, there's a Mincha Shai, has a long discussion, is it should be Chosach or is it Chosach? Mm-hmm. Is it a Shin or a Sin? So we have a Girsa, the Sin. Chosach means to be withheld. The day will be withheld means it will be dark. The darkness will be so great, it will be as if the sun does not shine in this city due to the Korban.
Almost immaterial, because in the Choshech Yom,
So it's the same thing. Okay, let's discuss it right now. So I think this is a very fascinating thing. When I always wondered about this mystery of Yoytzer Uvoirei Choshech. Okay, I never knew the answer. Now, finally, yesterday, when I was preparing, I finally understand the answer. What's the question? This is the big debate, big philosophical debate. Is there a bria called darkness? Is there nothingness? So seemingly we assume that darkness is the absence of light. There is no such thing as emptiness. Is there a hole? What is a hole? A hole is just is the open space that surrounds matter. Is there such a thing as a creation of a hole? Or is hole just the absence of matter? So this is the big philosophical debate. So most people will tell you that when you look at it from a religious perspective, the difference between a religious and a secular perspective. In the secular perspective, yes, there is a creation of nothingness. Nothingness, dark matter. Right? Isn't that what we call dark matter in science?
Yes.
There's dark matter. which means there is a bria in this world of nothingness. Darkness is also bria. In the spiritual world, we don't like to think of it like that, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu miloy chol ha'aretz kevoda. There is no area in this world that lacks HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor, which means there's no such thing as dark matter. So what then is what we call dark matter? It just means that it's Hester. Hester Pan HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yanochi haster aster panai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is withholding, he's withholding the obvious. He's withholding his spirituality, but it's there. The emptiness is basically the absence. I'm a little confused what I'm saying, but the point I want to make with you is as follows. We say in davening every single day, Hashem is yoitzer or uvoirei choshech. That goes against the grain of what I think the Baalei Machshava want to say. This is a problem. They have a problem dealing with this pasuk. It comes from the pasuk. Yoitzer or vorei choshech. Vorei choshech. It's a little different, but which simply means Hashem creates darkness. What do you mean Hashem creates darkness? Hashem doesn't create darkness. Darkness is just the absence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's light. So here in this pasuk is the answer. The answer is found right here, because it's found in Mincha Shai and it's found in the Mefarshim on the page. Choshech comes is not a real word. Okay, you've been fooled your whole life. You always thought the word choshech is a real word. The word choshech is a borrowed term. It really comes from the word chosach. Choshech has a shin, and chosach has a sin. And chosach clearly means the absence, the denial of light. Chosach means to withhold. I am withholding from you. Avram did not hold back. He did not hold back. The word chosach means to hold back. What? Right. Well, a chosach, right. Well, a chosin. With a sin, right. With a sin, exactly. That's what it says over here. Chosach is a sin. The real word, there is no such word as choshech. It's not a real word. It's a borrowed. It's an offshoot. It's a borrowed expression. It's a play on a real word. It's a secondary word. The real word is chosach, to withhold. When you look at darkness, there's no such thing as a creation of darkness. No such thing. Hashem didn't create dark matter. Darkness, nothing more than the absence of light. Hashem withheld. He withheld light from this makom, and to us as human beings, it appears to be dark. So choshech is really chosach. There has been something withheld from this makom.
If you could learn the other way, too.
You could look.
Choshech is a
prelude, but
that's how HaKadosh Baruch created everything, both light and darkness.
Hashem created darkness, but that's okay. That's an approach. But when you look at it from this form, and then you read the pasuk, Hashem is yotze or vori choshech, what it really means, Hashem didn't create dark matter. Hashem created the phenomenon in this world that he can deny. He was borei chosach. He created this phenomenon where you can deny from this world. A light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a possibility of the Anochi Haster Aster Pana. I mean, that's really what the whole world is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one, he gave us Bechir Chavshus, and by giving us Bechir Chavshus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mitzamtzem. This is the most basic Yisod in Kabbalah, Tzimtzem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, and when Hashem created the world, he created the world with the word Shakai. Shakai means She'omar Le'olamo Dai. Hashem said to his world, enough. I don't want you to expand to the degree where it's obvious that I am the creator. I want you to limit the expansion of the world should be limited where it's not obvious that there is a God, to leave to man the ability to my creation to find me. I want him to find me. The whole world is built on the premise of Hashem was borei this concept. It's a concept. That's not a mitzias that Hashem created. Hashem created a concept of chosach. This is a mitzvah where light and aur is withheld, and therefore to us it appears that it's dark. but it's not really dark. It's not a creation. Hashem didn't create darkness. It's an approach. You can argue. No, there is a creation of dark matter. But those who have a very difficult time saying that, and there are many. I think it's more popular to say that there is no such thing as a creation of nothingness. It's just like Kadosh Baruch Hu withholds light. How do you deal with the pasuk of Varei Choshech? Well, when you know this pasuk, you learn Lomim Chashai, and you see some of the Farshim, and they reveal to you that the real word is Chosach with a sin. And that means to withhold. And when you say, when we have this word choshech, which is shin, it's really just a play. It's a borrowed term from chosach, and that's why darkness appears to be dark, when it really, in truth, it's the withholding of Hashem's light.
Not only that, it's Yotzer, Yetzirah is formed something. So that means it's not created.
The form light is formed.
Else, like the form of pottery.
Right, light Hashem.
Korea is the creation.
Creation.
So you would think that, on the contrary, maybe the darkness is created and light is formed through E equals MC squared. Hashem created the light.
If we were writing Nusach HaTfilah, we would say Hashem is Yotzer. We would not Boirei or we would not say the Boirei the Yotzer. Hashem is Boirei the Or. He's also the Yotzer. He molds it however he likes. But to say Hashem is Borei Choshech, that's something which doesn't seem to us to make sense.
Right. The genera of black holes.
What?
Right.
The genera of black holes is
dark matter. So that's also, when we make the bracha, Yotz Borei Choshech, what does exactly it mean? Obviously, there are so many layers of interpretation.
Right.
But in this approach, I'm just presenting to you one approach. In this one approach, where there's no such thing in this world as darkness. Hashem did not create darkness. Darkness is just the absence of light. There is no dark matter. But that's contradicted by the words of the bracha. And the answer to that is to understand what it says here in this pasuk. We have the wrong translation of choshech. We translate choshech to mean darkness. No, choshech does not mean darkness. Choshech means the withholding of light.
The absence of light.
Absence of light. And where does it come from? It comes from the word chosach. The sin, the real word is chosach with a sin. Mm-hmm. And the word choshech is a borrowed expression where we exchange the sin for a shin. It's the same letter. And that means choshech. And that means that Kodesh Baruch Hu, he created not a mitzias. He didn't create a mitzias of dark matter. Hashem created a concept, an ability to hide himself, to withhold his light from his creation. And to human beings, it appears that there's darkness. And this is the purpose of creation. Sh'omar le'olam lo'idai. Hashem made the world by telling the Bria, enough, don't expand to the point that the world was created, let's make believe now, for argument's sake, the Big Bang. Right, make believe, okay? Hashem said, let their world be created. Hashem made a Big Bang. And the world was expanding, going on, whatever it was. And then it stopped. The creation came to an end. Why? Why did it come to it should have gone further where it would have been obvious that there's a God. There's no room for denial whatsoever. And Hashem said, stop. I want there to be Hester, pardon me, I want there to be such a Metzius where my spiritual aura is withheld from this world in order to give man the ability to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu. V'anoichi Haster Aster Panai V'yamahu. We're living now, Yitzchak Mashiach, we're living now in the greatest Hester Panim that it probably ever was. On the other hand, we're living in times where there's the greatest Harbatza Satara, the greatest coming close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zeluma Zebar Elokim.
You see, the
vocalist
uses the shit.
That's the Simcha Shai, exactly. That's the Simcha Shai. The Radak mentions that. That's the whole debate
he
over here.
Says, face, like we have in
the way we have it spelled. The way we have it spelled. Okay.
The
Choshech, same idea. The Choshech, according to this approach, Choshech is not a real word. Choshech is a borrowed, it's a secondary word which is borrowed from the word chosach. Every choshech
is
darkness is the withholding of light. The choshech al pnei sechom HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he withheld his aura from the face of the tahom. The world was created with this denial, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu withheld a degree of light from this world. Chazal said Hashem took the or, he put it away for the Yisur, the world does not deserve such beautiful or. He put it for the Tzadikim, Lasalava. So this theme is over and over, but it's really great. I mean, I never knew this. This is, to me, it's all new, is where everyone over here is talking about this. Is the Girsa Chasach or is the Girsa Chashach? And everyone here says, well, the two really are the same. Whether you want to say Chasach or Chashach, it's all the same, because what is darkness? Darkness is the withholding of light. Really? Is that really true? Darkness is the withholding of light. Maybe Hashem created dark matter. And many will argue that way. Certainly in the secular world, they'll tell you that. That's absolutely a fact. And even in the Jewish world, some will tell you, no, there's a Bria of Mamash Choshech. But others will say, no, there's no such thing as a Bria of Dark. The Choshech is nothing more. Hashem created the world. The world is Kula Or. Hashem just created this make-believe where Hashem holds back the R from certain things.
Even though he says Yikra Choshech Laila, he's calling it...
Right.
Calling a verb a name.
Yeah, correct. That's the complexity of the Hebrew language. Yeah, absolutely. And this approach. Yeah. Not everyone, everyone has their Ayin Panam Torah, but it's interesting, and here is like you really where they elaborate to a very great degree in the Targum and the Radak and the Mincha Shai. Okay, let's go further. So it's over here. When I break over the motos, motos means the bars of Mitzrayim. The motos means like the yoke of Mitzrayim. It will cease there the pride, her mighty pride. He onon yichasena. She will be covered by a dark cloud, and her daughters will go into captivity. This pasuk almost parallels word for word pasuk Yitzayin, where it talks about the young men will be killed, and the women will be taken into captivity. Pasuk Yitzayin, you'll see such a potim in Mitzrayim. I will exercise judgment in Egypt. Now, I always want to point out over here. I came across this. I found it to be very interesting. In Masechta Kelim, once upon a time, I was learning Masechta Kelim. And they have these beautiful Mishnais, the Mishnah Behira, unbelievable set of Mishnais. He actually just came out not that long ago with a few more volumes in Seder's Taharis. He only has like one or two left. I think he has the Kavaos, and he's missing also, I think, on the Goyim. But so there it talks about the oil, a yoke. Okay, I'm going off really a little bit of a tangent. You mentioned the Motos. The motos Mitzrayim, motos means the bars of Mitzrayim, which similarly is the motos means the yoke. Mm-hmm. The yoke which the oil. We say in davening every single day, the oil malchus shamayim. Mm-hmm. We're makabel, the oil malchus shamayim. What exactly is the yoke? What exactly does that word mean? And how does it apply to it? So in the Mishnayis, there is a discussion of the Masechta Kelim. I don't remember which parak it is. But there is a very detailed discussion. The Mishnah describes all the various parts of the wagon, the various parts that connect the wagon to the animal, and which things are tame, which things are kalim, which are tame, and which things are just pshute kliates and are not mikabel tuma. So one of the things which has the status of a utensil, which is susceptible to tuma, is the oil, is the yolk. What is the yoke? So this Mishnah Behira, he has a very beautiful diagram, and he shows Machlokes Rishonim, the Rambam, and maybe, I don't remember who, the Rambam, Machlokes Rishonim, what exactly is the yoke? According to one opinion, the yoke is the bar. It's actually the bar that rests on the neck, it's a piece of wood, that rests upon the neck of the animal. Other Rishonim disagree. It's not the bar that rests upon the neck of the animal. It's the bar that's perpendicular, that is connected with the ring to the tool, either the tool, the plow, or a wagon, or something that is being pulled.
When you pull the hitch.
Being pulled by the animal. So there are only three parts. There is the bar that, let's say, is... horizontal, the bar that's resting on the neck of the animal, which...
Usually around the...
No, that's the question. What exactly is the yoke? Not exactly the point I'm trying to make. That's the bar. The leading picture. It's the bar. Or some say, no, that's not the yoke. That's the moat. That's a moat. That's a different. There's a different term for that. The yoke is there's a ring in the center, and to that ring is attached another bar, and that bar is what is being pulled on the animal. Which, I mean, it's all one piece. The two go, you can't have one without the other. But the question is precisely what is the ol, what is the yoke? One is the motos, the moat, and one is the ol. So the question, we are Mekabel, every day when we say Kriya Shema, Kabolas, ol Malchushno. We're not Mekabel, the moat, the motos of Shemayim, the oil. So what exactly is? So this is a very fascinating difference in Hashkafa between the Rishonim who define what exactly the oil. If you learn that the oil is the bar that's resting upon the animal, it basically means we are under Hashem's control. We are kofof. When the yoke, that bar on the neck of the animal is pressed down, the animal knows it's not going anywhere. It's under the authority, the jurisdiction,
the direction.
It's completely under someone else's authority. If you learn that it is the bar that comes forward, it's different. It's not necessarily being under my authority. It's more my mission, because when the animal, that bar is there, that's already a secondary purpose. After the animal is harnessed. When the animal moves, when the animal goes forward, it's this bar that is pulling the plow. It's this bar that is pulling the wagon. The bar then basically is the mission. So we're here in this world. There's a very fundamental difference. What exactly is the all? What's the moat? We're in this world to accomplish a mission. Hashem gave Klal Yisrael the mission of revealing Hashem's Malchus in this world. Before you can do the mission, you have to first recognize that you're under His control. You're under His authority. So when you say every day, Yimakabel Shema Yisrael Hashem Elohim Hashem Echad, Yimakabel the Ol Malchus Shemayim, what exactly does that mean? You accept the yoke of heaven. Does this mean I'm subservient? I'm under Hashem's authority, or does it mean more than just being under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authority? The yoke is the part that's pulling, that's being used to pull a tool, whether it's a wagon, a plow, or some other implement. I'm mekabel ol malchus Hashem. I accept the mission. There's a very big difference of being subservient. I'm subservient to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or I accept the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mission is a richer expression, because accepting the mission also includes with it that you're subservient. Maybe not. Maybe when you say mission, it means I have a little leeway. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a little bit of chir in this world also. You know, they say, the Hasidic Rebbe say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu firzach the welt ruba de ruba. Hashem doesn't control the world 100%. Hashem lets men also do a little bit. Ruba de ruba. So when you say that, then you makabel the oil. What exactly is the oil? And whatever, and if it's not, if that bar is not the oil, whatever is not the oil is the moto. So it's very interesting over here when it comes to Klal Yisrael. We are makabel the oil malchus shemayim, and Egypt is being described over here as they're going to break the motos Mitzrayim. We don't want to use that word oil for some reason in reference to Egypt. Okay, again, let's see these strips looking inside now. Pasuk Yizayin the Mitzudos David. Vihine Nishay Hachalalim Telach Lashabi Mitzudos David says that the Mitzudos David says the word Vihine is Lashon Akeva, and it means that the females, after the young men have been killed, their wives will be taken away as captives. Pasuk Yudches Chosach Hayom Mishabo Olof Tzor Did Meloki Ilu Did Mimenu Ma'arayom. It's as if the light of day has been denied. V'chein yom choshech v'afela, the day of darkness v'afela. You always see people rachmatan in the tzar. They always wonder, how can the sun still shine? We read in the kinas, how a person is such a bitter matzav. How could it be the sun is still shining? It's so dark. B'shivrei sham be'esh esbar sham motos mitzrayim mitzrayim motos ha'ol. So here again, he writes over here the motos ha'ol. These two words go together. It's very, very fascinating. What is the moat? What is the old, the hashkafic?
The English says the staves of the...
Okay, that's...
I'm just saying that's what it calls it.
Calls what?
The motos. The motos. Staves.
A pole. A mote is a pole.
Right. Stave. Yeah. Exactly. Plural. Okay.
Everyone agrees. The Betulah says the motos ha'oil. So why then didn't the pasuk say the oil? Hashem will break the oil, the yoke of Mitzrayim, the meaning their power. In any event, it says here the motos ha'oil shehichdidu al umos, the yoke that they imposed upon the nations of the world. It does not say the yoke. It says the motos. We are makabel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the oil. What's the chilek between the mot and the oil? Again, that's the point I wanted to make, is look in the Mishnayis, where it describes the laws of Tumah, what is Tumah, what is not Tumah, and there it says the oil is Tumah. There is a machlekes rishonim, what is the oil? Is it the part that goes like this, or the part that goes like that? Look in the pictures, and they're connected with a ring. And this has the major nafkamina as what we are doing when we are makabel ol malchus shamayim. Is it the subservience to Hashem, or is it the mission? Because the moat is really pulling; it's doing something. Let's go further. In this city, the memshelus chazaka will come to an end. He ha'ir tach panches ha'anon yichas ha'isakim od yech shachla. This was one of the major cities in Egypt. Will become very dark. Uvenosecha binosuir b'shvi chitilach. We go into captivity. Ki ani Hashem pasuk yutes. I am Hashem. Haneman l'shalem gimol. Hashem is neman. Let's see Rashi pasuk yedzayin. V'hinei b'shvi chitilach neshtem ha'mshtem amdinos oven uvfi beses. These are two cities. City of Oven, which we said before is the city of On. And notice Rashi puts these two words, different girsa, at least in my text. It's one word, Ufi Veses. There is no blank space in between these two words. Yitches chasach hayom yimona ha'or. Rashi also has a sin, not a shin. And therefore he says the or will be withheld. Anoni chasena tzara tavoy olecha v'usa chasena. Tsar will come upon the city and will cover it in darkness, and it will become dark like a day when the cloud has covered the city. Which is the targum of its kifar, like a village, the suburbs. So he learns not like what we said. I told you that it means her daughters. It's parallel pasuk yud zayin. That's not what Rashi says. The targum elit says means that the suburbs, not only will the city of Sach Panches be destroyed, all of its affiliates, all of its suburbs will also be destroyed as well. Pasuk, okay, that's Rashi Radak. Pasuk Yitzayin Bachuria Bachuriyovin Shem Uir Beretz Mitzrayim Ve'Avshah Shehi Own HaKosu Batara Kohen Own. You said we mentioned the reference to Yosef. Yosef married Eshes Potiphar, who was the daughter of the Kohen, the priest of the city of On. And here it turned into the city of Oven. Ufiveses Terein Milin Kisivin. The Radak disagrees with Rashi. Radak says it's not one word, it's two words. V'karya mila achada. We read it as one word. V'hu shem ir. It's the name of a famous city in Egypt. Next, v'hinei bashvil telachna. Now he's asking, why the v'hina? Why is it b'loshon nekeva? K'mo hein, heina hayu levnei Yisrael. Ye'amah heima lizicharim v'hina l'nekeva. So perish adoni avizal ki ala noshim ye'amah. This is exactly what the Metzudos David said. We're referring to the wives of these young men. V'yavach mishaloi zuchoron heina. Zohar habachurim sheyiplu v'achedev. We mentioned in the previous, on the beginning of the passage, that their husbands will die. V'yamach yinishayhem, the heina refers to the wives. Selachna b'ashevi, going to captivity, period. V'yodas antergem ulmei oven ufiveses b'charba yiskal tulun. That's the men. Ufol chehoin. And means their work. I guess it means their assets. Their assets. Vehino ufol chehoin bashivya yehovun. I guess this means that heina doesn't mean their wives. It means their servants. It means all of their assets, all of their property, including their slaves, will all go into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. Pas yitches uvis chaf neches. Who tach panches haniskar? Okay, so being that there are more letters, that causes all of the vowels to shift. Okay, let's go further. Chasach hayom, he writes here besin, v'nikra besmol, kamo v'lo chasach min damuma, v'pera shmona o hayom me'or lohem, amazeh me'or atzor, kilu mon hayom me'or lohem, yunus antir gibi al tach, panches, aiseh chashoch. Okay, so notice that the Targum disagrees. The Targum obviously had the gear, so where it's not with a sin, it's with a shin, and darkness will descend upon the city of Tach Panches. Es motos Mitzrayim, motos olam, the mote of their yokes. Shahoyu al tzavrei hagoyim, Egypt controlled the world. They imposed policy, economic policy upon the entire world, and everything that will be disrupted when Nebuchadnezzar conquers Egypt. Virasant here game kad esbar tamon yas tekoif Mitzrayim. He translates the word mote not to refer to the yoke. It refers to the might. It means like a big stick. Egypt had a big, big bat that would beat up all the other nations. It doesn't mean a yoke. It means they were bullies. They bullied the other nations into what they wanted, and now that Egypt has been defeated, the bully is no longer. He Anani Hasena Kitagumoi Melech Be Mashir Yosei Yechefena Kanana. The king in his dwelling place will be enveloped by a cloud. What?
His camps
will be enveloped by clouds. The Solik of the Chafa Yas Ara, he will be removed. He will be exiled. The inhabitants of the villages will go into captivity. They will go into captivity. Okay, pass the Chaf. Now we go to a new Nevuah. Another Nevuah describing the Churban of Mitzrayim. We have multiple Nevuahs, a lot of repetition. Over here, this was in the year of the Churban. It was in this 11th year of Yehoyachin, which was the year when the Beis Hamidosh was destroyed. Berishon in the first month, Chodesh Nisan, b'shivah l'chodesh, on the 7th day of the month. Hayad Rashi Leimar Ben Adam Ezroya Paro Melech Mitzrayim Shavarti. So for Hashem says, I already broke Paro one arm, and this took place back how many years ago? This took place 11 years ago. This took place 15 or 16 years ago. We'll see in a moment. We're going to go through the Marie Kara. He goes through a very important review of all the entire history. So I already broke one of his arms, and now I'm going to break the other one. In other words, right now Paro is wounded and a broken arm. He's in crutches. They put him in a cast. And he has a sling, and he's still healing. The wound has not yet healed, and he's misbehaving. So you know what? I'm going to go back to Paro, and I'm going to break his other arm, and then he'll be completely defeated. So Ben Adam is in Lashon Avar. Ezeroya Paro Melech Mitzrayim, the arm, or in this context means the might of Paro, Shavorti, in the past tense. I have already broken 15 years ago. And now what am I going to do? V'hine, lo chubasha, it has not yet been bandaged. Bandaged. In other words, the bandage did not yet, he's still in pain. They did not yet get a proper treatment for the wound. Law says to apply rifuos, healing, proper healing. Lasum chitul, to apply chitul means a bandage. Lichavsha, to wrap it, lichaska, in strength. In other words, the cast has not yet been put on the arm to repair the damage. Lispos b'chorev, so he can once again fight with a sword. If your right arm is broken, you can't use your right arm to fight. So Paro prided himself being able to pick up a sword and wave his sword over all of his enemies. And now Paro has been injured; he can't do this anymore, and he's still in this state. And what am I going to do now? I'm going to now make it even go through another few psukim. Possible chabez l'chadiv v'koyim ma'ashem l'kim. Hidden il paro melech v'tshayim. I am going to rise up against paro melech v'tshayim v'shavarti as zero osaf. I'm going to break the other arm, both arms. When the first arm has not yet even been healed, I'm going to break it again. Plus, I'm going to break the other arm. I'm going to finish him off. Es hachazaka v'es hanish boris. the good arm, that's still good. Yes, Hanish first, the broken arm. The palti yes, achedim yado. And therefore, the sword that he's holding, either in his bad arm, maybe in the good arm, is going to fall from his hands, and he's not going to be able to do v'hafitzosiyas mitzram agoyim. I'm going to disperse my nations v'zeri simbo arotzos and spread them out through all of the lands. Okay, let's see what's going on here first. Pasichaf and Mitzvah says Kibachas Esher Shana Lagol Shel Yochin Malchus Tzidkiyahu Bihich Nasa Churban. This is the 11th year of Yehoyachin, the 11th year of Tzidkiyahu. This is the year when the base Hamidrash will be destroyed on Chodesh Av. Barishon BaChodesh Rishon. This Nevuah took place in Chodesh Rishon in Chodesh Nisan. So it's only the base Hamidrash will be destroyed in Chodesh Av in the fifth month. So it's only 5 months before the Churban. It was on the 7th day of the month. Hashem says to Yechezkel, I have already broken his Zeroyah, Hine, Kvar, Shavarti, Esachas, and Meha Zeroyah, Shoparo. I already broke one arm. Return to Loimar, Kvar, Mesartid, Pam, Biad, Vuchanetza, Bishnas, Arba, Liho, Yokim. In the fourth year, we're going to go through some of the details because the Mari Korah, he really goes through this very, very beautifully, a really nice review of the entire history. But right now, the Mitzvah tells us that when was Paro defeated for the very first time? It was in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. And Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. So Yehoyakim was, so therefore Yehoyakim, how many more years does Yehoyakim have left? 7 years. This is fourth year, and Yehoyakim is going to be king for 11 years. So there are 7 years left to Yehoyakim, and 11 years of Yehoyachin. So 11 plus 7 is 18. So basically Hashem is saying to Yechezkel, 18 years ago, in the year 1999, remember those days? 1999? Ancient history? What was everyone doing in 1999? Everyone was worried the world was going to come to an end because of Okay, what was it called again?
Y2K.
The pachad of Y2K. Did anything ever happen in Y2K?
Everything.
No, the government. They had in the news right now. The government right now. Trump. He canceled. They're still working. The federal government. Teams of people. Rewriting code. Y2K code. 18 years later.
They have to fill out some kind of.
Y2K, there's still
reports,
people working.
Right? Make reports on progress on Y2K.
Y2K, they're being paid full-time salaries, taxpayer money, full-time salaries, good salaries. They're working on Y2K 18 years later. And they told Trump, what a waste, what was crazy. Whatever it was, the world didn't come to an end by now, it's not going to happen. And he laid them off. It was in the news. He shut down the department, the Y2K department of the United States of America has been shut down by an executive order. Read about it. So here Hashem says to Yechezkel, 18 years ago I destroyed, I punished Egypt. And 18 years ago was when? It was in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, because Yehoyakim was king for a grand total of 11 years. So if it was in his fourth year, that means he has 7 more years to go. And Tzidkiyahu is now in his 11th year. So it's 11 plus 7, 18 years ago. From Moshe Rabbeinu Yirmiyahu Volochim. That might be accurate, because there might be some overlap, so we'll see soon, okay? For Lokach Os Chela Gadol Mi'aretz. So at that point in time, the Nebuchadnezzar already took away a chunk of Paro's land, his authority. And Paro did not learn the lesson. And therefore, what's going to happen now? Pasuk gets the next words, Vihinei. And now, what am I going to do? Vihine loy chubisha, adayin lo koshar tachboshes al hashever. Paro in these 18 years did not yet take a cast, take a rag and wrap it around his wound. Lo seis rifuos al hashever, lo sum kirichol le koshua heitev, in order to tie it tightly, le chazek oisa, to strengthen the broken bone, le man tuchal le chois bacherev, so he can hold on to his sword. Egypt did not return to their former glory, and I did not take from them my full vengeance. So Egypt is still wounded, they're down and out, but they're not, the game is not yet over. So now Pasuk Chabez says, Hashem says, I'm going to finish them off. Hinei ani ilochim elochim imparo v'shavarti ani ha'eshbor eshtei zero yosef. Esach hazaka shloi nishbar me'oz v'gam esav nishaderes ha'shaber oid l'bal yelo refu klal v'zeh api l'sachet v'yodo. That way the sword will fall out of his hands. Ki lo yucham yato l'hachazika b'yachas min hazroos. He won't be able to hold the sword not in the good and not in the bad hand. Whereas in Eloimar, Nebuchadnezzar, Yikach gam ha'oretz hanish eres lo, the remaining land of Egypt, Uma shekvar lokach yachzik lo bobi atzmo, v'lo teitze mitachas yodo lo yuchal ol la'amod negdo b'amulchama. Basically, Nebuchadnezzar is going to finish off Egypt. This is the message Hashem gives to Yechezkel. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, start with Pasuk Chof says, no, Chof Aleph. Es zeroya paro melech Mitzrayim shavati kvar. In the past, Pam Acheres, Shnasati Chelo Biyad Nebuchadnezzar Bevashana Revis Liyoyakim. I already delivered this army in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth year of Yehoyakim. Kimosh Nemar, it says, Mesifa Yirmiya, Limitzrayim concerning Egypt, Al, concerning Chel Paro, the army of Paro. Necho, who was the Paro at that point in time? Paro Necho. Mm-hmm. This was Paro Necho. He was the one that killed Yoshiyahu. Hashem had out. It's very important. It's very, very important for the Kinnis. When we learn, we read the Kinnis Tisha B'Av. So what does it say in the Kinnis? That one of the most important Kina is I forgot everything already. What does it say in that Kina? How does it start? That Kina, it's about Tzidki. When Yirmiyah is Misabel over Tzidkiyahu. Vayikoinein Yirmiyahu al Tzidkiyahu. Okay, it's towards the beginning. Everyone tells you this is the most important kina of all the kinas. Okay, in fact, Megillas Eicha, which parak was it? One of the parak of Megillas Eicha, I have to brush up on all this stuff. One of the parak of Megillas Eicha was written as a eulogy by Yirmiyah for the murder, for the assassination, the death of Tzidkiyahu. Who killed Tzidkiyahu? I'm sorry, who killed Yoshiyahu? I'm saying Yoshiyahu. Paro Necho. What did Paro Necho do after he killed, when he killed Yosha? Who did he appoint in his place? His son. He appointed in his place his son, Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim took over the reins of his father, Yoshiyahu. How long did Yehoyakim remain in power? 11 years. And what happened during those 11 years? Nebuchadnezzar rose to power, and Nebuchadnezzar in the fourth year, 4 years later, after Paro Necho killed Yoshiyahu, Nebuchadnezzar killed Paro Necho. So this was payday for what happened. So Mitzrayim al chel Paro Necho, Melech Mitzrayim Ashochi b'Karkamish. Where was he? He was in Karkamish. What was he doing in Karkamish? Al Nahar Paras, what was he doing in Karkamish, Paro Necho? He went to fight against Melech Ashur. All of these things, these are all very important pieces of the puzzle. When was Yoshio killed? Paro Necho wanted to march through Eretz Yisrael to reach Karkamish to do battle against Melech Ashur. Okay, there was a world war going on between the nation of Ashur and the nation of Egypt. These were the two world powers at this point in time. And Paro Necho needed rite of passage to get to the battlefield in the land of Ashur, the city of Karkamish. And Yoshio said, don't you dare pass through our land. It says in the Torah, V'cherev l'savar bi'artzchem afilu cherev shel sholom. Paro Necho told Yoshiyahu, you're making a big mistake, your people are not so righteous, and Yirmiyahu himself will back up what I'm telling you. And indeed, Yirmiyahu did back up Paro Necho. Yoshiyahu did not listen, he prevented him. Where did he prevent him? Where did they meet? In the city of Megiddo. Megiddo was somewhere in between Egypt and Karkamish. And in Megiddo was the battle where Yoshiyahu was shot and was killed. 300 arrows perforated his body. He bled to death. Yirmiyahu came to hear him die, and he buried his blood. It says there that he buried his blood right then and there And later the soldiers took his body and they brought him back to Yerushalayim to be buried there. Over here you have all of these little pieces over here in this Rashi. You have Paro Necho, and you have Karakamish on the Har Pras, Hika Nevuchanetzar. So now he made his way, Paro Necho made his way all the way to Karakamish. But 4 years later, what happened? Nevuchanetzar came there and killed Paro Necho. Okay, next was the Rashi, Vihinei Luchu Chubashom, Meosah Hayom Vachalof, Nati and Anwuf. What happened 18 years ago, he has not yet been healed. Kimosh Nemar, Besef Melach, Besef Velochosev, Oid Melach Mitzrayim, Lot Sitz Me'aretzo. He never left his blinky. Lokach Melch Babel, Menachem Mitzrayim, Yad Nahar Peros. At that point in time, he was unable, that was the end of his imperialism. No more. That's it. Paro learned his lesson. I guess, I don't know if Paro was Paro Nocho, but after that point in time, they never had any great hasagas to conquer the world. They sat at home. They didn't have a hasagas to go conquer the king of Asher anymore. Yirmiyahu also said something very similar. He also uses the expression that he has not been healed. Shenemar Ali Gilad Ukechit Tsari. Gilad, rise up and take Tsari Besulas Bas Besulas Mas Mishayim Lashav her base Rufuos. Gilad was like the center of the medical industry of those days. Like, where is it today? Where is the place? Probably Boston, or the Mayo Clinic. Where is Mayo Clinic? Which city is that?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Yeah, Rochester.
So that's the set, right? That's one of the big places. That's the big place. Every time, Rachman Olson, every specialty has its place.
Right.
But Derech Klal, like Boston is mamish. It's a whole city, the whole industry, the whole city. Everyone there is a doctor, cannot in Boston. So Gilad was the place where all of the doctors hung out. And what did they use? They didn't use technology. They used herbs. Tzri was the best stuff. That's where they had the specialty of healing. So here the pasuk over here is telling us, make mitzanis, Egypt, go Gilad, try to go give Egypt some of your best medicine. It will not make a difference. They're beyond hope. Gilad, go to Ali Gilad, ukechi, take for yourself the tzri, besulas bas mitzrayim. It's not going to make a difference because the young maiden of bas mitzrayim, lashav, here base rifuos. It's a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of effort. They're not going to be healed. All the effort's not going to heal them. Ta'ala, refua ta'ala is another word for healing. Ein loch, there is no healing for you, Egypt. Lo chubashah, loshen kashira, the bandage has not been tied. Shekoshen etzem hanishva, you tie a broken bone. Losum chitul, to apply the bandage. Maseh begadim. A ritia, it's some type of a wrapping. Ma'ateh means a wrapping of garments and a compress. Kemo v'chotel lo chutolt. Another pasuk there, which also means you have not been bandaged. Lisbois bacheref. One is a problem. If your bones are broken, you can't hold the weapons. Kolemar me'os shenishbar. Zero o lohelo o arucha. You are no longer healed. You're no longer able to go to battle. And Hashem says, now I'm going to break both of his bones, both of his arms. Eshbar es hashenis v'tienes shteihem shurus. Both arms will be broken. Kolaymar kivar lokach melch bavel mitzado echad oid en solo yeser hamalchus kuloi. He already started, and now I'm going to allow Nebuchadnezzar to finish him off for good. Rada pasik chaf. Okay, very quickly, by Yivachas, Ezrei, Shadu, Zulam, Adim, Gol, Sifkiyo. Parishon, Meshri, Lechodesh, Bachodesh, Amishon, Shun, Nisach. Ben Adam, Ezrei, Paro, Melech, Mitzrayim, Shavati, Zezer, Shinema, Begirmiya, Alchel, Paro, Necho. Same thing as Rashi, concerning the army of Paro, Necho. Melech, Mitzrayim, Asher, Hoya, Al-Nahar, Peros, Bekar, Kamish, Asher, Hika, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech, Bavel, Mishnasar, Vizli, Yoyakim, Men Yoyashim, before the Yoyakim, 4 years after Paro, Necho killed Yoshiyahu. Paro, Necho was located in Karkamish. Karkamish is Ashur, the city of Ashur. When that happened, they were defeated. Paro went back home to Egypt, and they put an end to their agenda of conquering the world. And they no longer had any desire to go to Ashur or to any other country to conquer. They sat home. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. Melech Hashem Lot says Me'atzik Yilakach Melech Bavel V'zel Shenishmudo Zroi Achas. One arm has been broken. Hinei Lo Chubisha. They're still reeling. They're still in pain. This broken wound, there is no refuah. Now he goes into some grammar. We're going to skip this. Okay, that looks pasuk a base. Yeah. Right. Might. Zeroyah's might.
Right. And in our language, we say arms means weapon, armies, and so on.
It all comes from this idea. All comes from biblical Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew, the whole America, the whole Constitution comes from the Tanakh. I mean, pretty much, to some degree. Tomorrow is July 4th. Maybe we should do that. That would be really great if we get someone here to go and show the roots of America are all rooted in Tanakh. In the Bible, someone get a mumcha, What? A lot of good stuff on that. What? America was such a religious country. What happened? What happened in 200 years? What happened? Where we go?
200 years is a long time.
It was such a religious country. It's amazing how you listen to some of the tapes, some of the lectures. One of the biggest experts in American history that I know. Okay, I don't know anything, but. It just, what comes out of his mouth is just unreal, is Rabbi Stephen Przanski from Teaneck. He knows American history like the back of his hand. It's just out of this world. You can't even imagine what he could tell you about American history and parallels and Israeli history as well. I mean, he knows Israeli history. He gave the Jews, what was it called? He gave a whole year of lectures on, 25 lectures on the presidents and the Jews. He went from George Washington all the way to Obama, all the way. Did he get up to Trump? I don't think it was before Trump became president. All the way to Obama, he went through in detail all the connections between the presidents, of the United States and the Jews. But the problem was, before he got to the Jews, he said, "Let me just give you some background. Who was George Washington?" And he just talks, and he talks for 45 minutes. Oh, this is supposed to be a shiur about the Jews and the presidents. Okay, so let me just tell you now quickly the connection between what connection George Washington had with the Jews. But before he would tell you about their connection, he would tell you about the presidents. And wow, it's remarkable.
The first commencement speeches in the universities in America was in Hebrew.
In Hebrew, correct. And also, one of the things that he impressed upon me, I mean, in listening to these lectures, was it was such a deeper religious country. The depth of religion was so ingrained in the people, it's just beyond us. It's even more than from people today. Religion was such a primary part of their life, an integral part of their life.
There's another one, Rabbi David Katz in
Baltimore. Yeah. He's also big in American history.
He's an expert. He gives shiurim, but you have to pay for the hair.
You got to pay to hear.
I met him on a tour.
Who? What's his name?
He takes to the White House.
Czechoslovakia.
Katz. Pasuk Chabez, Lechei Nesach Es HaChazaka V'Yes HaNishbar V'Yes HaChazaka HaShaber HaNishbar. You can get all these lectures online. YU.org. Torah.org. You type in Przanski. You'll see this fascinating stuff. Lechei Nesach HaChazaka V'Yes all free. Es HaChazaka V'Yes HaNishbar V'Yes HaChazaka HaShaber. We call Pasuk Chabez in the Radak. HaChazaka HaShaber HaNishbar V'Yes T'yeh Shavur K'mo Shehoisa. The broken arm will remain broken the way it was. And the good arm, I'm going to break now. What does this say? What is this a metaphor regarding? Mashal al arzo shenish arlo. I already took away his foreign assets. I already took away Ashur. I took away all of the cities, the countries that he conquered. Now I'm going to take away the homeland. We'll leave Targum out. Before we go further, I just want to try and define something what to say. There aren't too many midrashim that are really relevant to this, but there is a very good Mahari Kara. Let's read a little bit of the Mahari Kara, because he reviews the history, and sometimes we forget the whole sequence of events. And if you have in front of you the whole sequence of events, then a lot of the things, all the pieces of the puzzle, they fit together much, much better. So let's start with the Mahariko. You have this in your edition, I believe, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's start, just read just a little bit, not everything. Let's see, let's start where it says Pasik Chaf and Chaf Aleph, Ahi Bi'achas Esreshana, okay? Ahi Bi'achas Esreshana, Lamalchus Tzidki Yahu. B'shnas Churban Abayis, this was the year of the Churban. Ezroya Par Melech Mitzrayim Shavarti. Pam achas, already in the past, shavarti koichoy v'chelo, his strength and his army, shemosati lo biyad Nebuchadnezzar, b'shono harviyas lihoyokim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda. Shehi, now here's where we was reviewing, what was the significance of the fourth year of Yehoyakim? Yehoyakim was king for 11 years. What was the significance of his fourth year? That was the first year when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power. That was the year, I guess, after his father died. His father was Merodach Baladan. Some say that was his grandfather, but let's assume for now that Merodach Baladan was the father of Nebuchadnezzar. He died. Nebuchadnezzar took over. He became the king, and he became very successful very quickly. The first order of business was to conquer Egypt. So this was the fourth year of Yehoyakim. Shehi shana rishayna l'Nebuchadnezzar, kimo shenemar b'sefer Yirmiya, l'Mitzrayim, concerning Egypt, al, concerning, chel, the army of Paro, Nechol, melech Mitzrayim, asher hoya nahar peros, where was he located at this moment in time when Nebuchadnezzar rose to power? In Bavel. Where was Paro Necho currently stationed? Not in his homeland. He was stationed in the city of Karkamish, which is a city in Ashur. Hoya al Nahar, Asher Hoya was in Asher Hoya al Nahar Peros, be Karkamish. Asher, he called Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. So what did he do? Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to Karkamish, I'm going to Ashur, to conquer the army, to wipe out the army of Egypt. Es Mitzrayim, so he did this. Melech Babel, Es Mitzrayim. This was done to Mitzrayim. B'shnas Horvius, this took place in the fourth year. Li Hoyakim, Melech Yoshio, Melech Yehuda. He Hashana Harishayna Levuchanetzar. She'os Hashana Harishayna Lemalchus. So that first year he went up. Malchus Ola V'kibesh Es Ninveh. So he tells the two things. First of all, he conquered Ninveh. Ninveh is the capital of Ashur. Okay, it's the capital of Ashur. Therefore he conquered Ashur, and in the process of conquering the nation of Ashur with its capital Ninveh, he also derech agav wiped out the army of Paro that was stationed in the city of Karkamish, which is not far from Ninveh. Because Paro really wanted to conquer Ninveh. I guess Paro was real. That was Paro's real goal. Paro's real goal was to conquer Ashur and to conquer Ninveh. Paro was just, he couldn't do it. He didn't succeed. But Nebuchadnezzar succeeded. And not only did he succeed, he also wiped out the competition at the same time. And he conquered the army of Paro. Now, here's what's very important for us. Shana Shania. What did Paro do in his second? What did Nebuchadnezzar do in his second year of Melech? The second year of Nebuchadnezzar is the fifth year of Yehoyakim. Shana Shnia L'malchusu Ola V'kibesh Es Yehoyakim. This was he conquered Yehoyakim. He went to Yerushalayim and he told Yehoyakim, I'm the boss here and you're going to pay taxes. And he took a group of people with him into Golos, including Doniel, Hananya, Mishael v'Azariah. So this is a very critical event. It took place in the fifth year of Yehoyakim, which was the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. He went to Yerushalayim, he went to Yehoyakim. I'm not destroying the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not going to kill anyone here. I just want to let you know I'm in charge. And from here on in, you're going to pay taxes. All the money goes to me. You pay high taxes. And to show you who's in charge, I'm taking some of your best people. They're coming down with me to Bavel. This was called the first Golos. There are really three Golosim. The Golos of Yehoyakim, the Golos of Yehoyachin, which was a number of years later, we'll see you soon. And then there's the Golos of Churban, 11 years after all that, was the Golos of Tzidkiyah. So this was the first Golos. Vayihilo Yehoyakim Evet. Okay, Yehoyakim was a slave to Nebuchadnezzar. He was allowed to sit in the home. Okay, he stayed home in Yerushalayim, but he was enslaved. Evet Shalosh Shanim. Now what happened after 3 years? Yehoyakim decided enough of this nonsense. Enough of giving, paying taxes to Nebuchadnezzar, no more. Okay, what do they call the cities? The sanctuary city. Okay, no longer bound to follow the rules of Nebuchadnezzar. This is sanctuary city. We declare ourselves sanctuary city. The Yoshev Vayimrod Bo. So he didn't like that. He didn't. So that was, this went on for a year. This went on for a year. 5, 6, 7. Okay, so he went in the second year. So the second year was the fifth year, 6, 7. So what happened? Vishnas Sheva, I guess the end of his Malchus, Lekibosh Yehoyakim. Melech Vishnas Sheva, Lekibosh Yehoyakim. Yehoyakim Evet Sholeh Shonim. Vayosha Vayimu, then he rebuilt. Uvishnas Sheva, Lekibosh Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda. Now this is Kibosh Yehoyakim.
We have Malchus Yehoyakim.
L'malchus Yehoyakim, okay, fine. L'malchus Yehoyakim, Melech Yehuda, she's shana sheminis l'Nebuchadnezzar, olav usifaso. And why does he call him Yehoyakim? Yehoyakim. Olav, he went up, usifaso, he grabbed him.
We have different
gears. What do you
have?
Okay, so if we read your words, okay, he came out, I have them in the parentheses over here, Klein. And that was the end of Yehoyakim. So what happens? How many years? So this he rebelled, he was good for him for 3 years. That means he was good for how many years? Year 5, 6, 7. And then he rebelled. How many years did he rebel? He rebelled until the 11th year. 8, 9, 10, 11. For another... He was a slave. How many years was he a slave for? He was a slave for 3 years. 5, 6, 7. So then, 8, 9, 10, 11. Seemingly for 4 years, he rebelled. And that was the 8th year. The 11th year of Yehoyakim will now be the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had enough of the rebellion, and Nebuchadnezzar came up and he killed Yehoyakim, and he said, "You rebel against me all these years, no more Yehoyakim, you're out." And he appointed in this place, Yehoyachin. He appointed Yehoyachin in this place. And how long did that last? Only for 3 months. What happened? He goes back home to Babel, and the people in Babel, they're laughing at him. They say, "What kind of king are you? Someone rebels against you, and you go and you appoint a son? How good can that be? How good could it be to go appoint the son of the person who has rebelled against you? He's going to want to take revenge." He killed Yehoyakim. So after 3 months, he says, "You're right." He went back, and he took Yehoyakim into Golus. He took him down into Golus, into Babel, with 10,000 people. And he appointed as a replacement his uncle Tzidkiyahu. Then it goes on all this that we already did. We explained already before. Okay, so that's the basics. We wanted to go over that basic review. Let's review. We'll stop it. Let's review the basic idea. What happened? Just review these dates. Nebuchadnezzar became the king of Babel in the 4th year of the rule of Yehoyakim. And what happened? What did he do? What did Nebuchadnezzar do in his 4th year? The first order of business was to conquer the nation of Ashur. The capital of Ashur is Nineveh. And in the process, who was happened to be there camping out around the city of Ashur? Paro. Paro happened to be there. Paro Nechol. The Paro Nechol, the one who killed Yosho, happened to be hanging out because Paro Nechol himself wanted to conquer Nineveh. Paro Nechol was unable to do so. Nebuchadnezzar was successful. And in the process, he wiped out the army of Paro Nechol. Paro Nechol goes back to Mitzrayim and he sits there for the next 18 years. He sits there for the next 18 years and until we have over this Nevuah, and this Nevuah tells what's going to happen at that moment in time. Later on, in the 27th year of Nebuchadnezzar, is when he'll be wiped out a second time. In the meantime, what does Nebuchadnezzar do in this second year, which is now the fifth year of Yehoyakim? He goes to Yerushalayim and he just lets Yehoyakim know, I'm the boss, I'm in charge here. And the taxes go to me, you're my slave, I'm the boss. And this is a critical moment in time, the fifth year. Chazal tell us this was the first Golas. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and many other tzaddikim were exiled to Babel at this moment in time. Yehoyakim was loyal to Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years. His fifth year, his sixth year, and his seventh year. After 3 years of being loyal to Nebuchadnezzar, Yehoyakim said, no more. I had enough of this guy. Finished. No more. And what does he do? He begins to rebel. How long did the rebellion last? Rebellion lasted 3-4 years until Yehoyakim's 11th year. The 11th year of Yehoyakim is now the 8th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar says, enough of this rebellion. He brings his army to Yerushalayim and he kills Yehoyakim. And who does he replace him with? Yehoyachin, the famous Yehoyachin. And he says, you are now going to be the king, you're in charge, no more rebellion, you pay tax once again, you are the son of Yehoyakim, you know how to run the business, so you run the business, but make sure you pay tax, make sure you behave, and everything will be good. Nebuchadnezzar goes back home, and he tells everyone what he accomplished, and he takes a public opinion poll, His ratings are all the way on the bottom. They say, we have a weak king. We have a weak king over here because he goes and he kills the king and he appoints his son in this place. So Nebuchadnezzar realizes his mistake, so he runs back within 3 months to restore his ratings and he exiles Yehoyachin. Not just with Yehoyachin, 10,000 people. This is a blessing in disguise. The Parish for Hamaske, they're the ones who laid the foundation for the future survival of Klal Yisrael. So it turns out, who are the people who really saved Klal Yisrael? It was the pollsters. Because the Nebuchadnezzar was very happy. It was the pollsters. Think about it. The Nebuchadnezzar was very happy to leave Yehoyachin there in Eretz Yisrael. So they would have stayed there. So why did he come back 3 months later to get it? It says a fair. It's because the people, they were making Litzanis of him. Who was making Litzanis? The kind of the pollster. They took polls and they said he's a weak king. So he didn't want to look weak. So he had no choice but to go and exile Yehoyachin in Chosh HaMasker, and that was the salvation of the Klal Yisrael. So it wasn't Yehoyachin, it was the pollsters. See how powerful they are, the media? The media, how powerful they are. I guess the media, they're the ones.
Kairos tried it there too, also.
It goes to show, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Masha Hoya, Kvar Hoya, Masha Yia, whatever it says in the Pasuk. So I think there's something over here which you learn a little interesting history repeats itself. All right, tomorrow we'll continue with Pasuk Chav Dalet. Okay, we're out the Pasuk Chav Dalet. Here, but I have here, what I want to do is, I have here, we're in the middle of finishing up Simin Reish Ayin Tes, and then I have the Mishnah Berurah. I printed out the Mishnah Berurah. I want to do the sugya of what do you do if you find a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the Mishnah Berurah. And that way we'll have the big picture. We'll have the Lamas Erech HaSholchan and the Hashtag of the Mishnah Berurah, but I don't think we're going to get there today. So today we're just going to first finish up the Simon. 169.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. 169.
I have 168.
2 pages. 169.
Where's 116?
Oh, this is 116.
That is I by title.
Welcome back. How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
What's this? For leaving? What is this?
No, there's something in it. My wife doesn't throw out envelopes.
Jeremiah.
Oh, look at this picture.
Remember that one.
What do you think of the picture?
I don't know.
But Shmuel, want to do a few verses with you?
This was on Purim.
But that is Ezekiel.
I already got the positive response on that.
Oh, and
no, no, Mishmur. I haven't read, but not 93. Thank you very much. It's important. Question was this year, I think it was this year, right? It was this year.
Two dafs or one?
What?
That's the same. Okay.
168 and 169.
And two different pages. This is 169.
This is 169. Shkoyach. Thank you, Heshi Glider.
Remember this.
Very good.
What's new? How are you? So good to see you. Are you on vacation? Or the patient came normal?
You know, case in Shabbos. Yeah. I have friends who do work. They can help you. No, sorry, they can't help you. They could try.
Try.
Such
a Chaim Belinda. I went there today.
Of course you were there. You're there every day.
Every day.
They didn't see Kelod today. Kelodoy.
Kelodoy.
I was still not. I'm Shabbos. My mother's in my mother's yard side.
Yes,
I'm not a
Balmanadian.
I was thinking I should do Kelodoy.
But you dive it somewhere, no?
No, somewhere.
Okay.
I didn't do
and that's the way they do it in Lakewood.
Kelodoy.
Unfortunately, your baron came with a bunch of Kletzker who were all tone deaf.
That's right. That's right.
Did you know my grandmother? Did you ever meet my grandmother?
That's
from Shasha's wife.
Yeah, but I don't really remember that much.
Someone told me a story on Shabbos. My grandmother was there. She says that in RJJ on the Yom Meroim, the Baal Shachris wasn't feeling well. So the Ginsberg, I don't even know who he is. The Ginsberg, the Menahel, he died in Shachris. He was there, it seems.
Okay.
It seems he was there, and he was a Hasidisha, right?
Yeah, a little too.
Where's the rabbi of Young Israel of Kenzie?
Who?
No, that was the other one.
So he began to sing. He began to sing. One of the Piyutim. So my grandmother, Olah HaShalom, someone told me the story on Shabbos. I don't know if it's true or not. She opened up the Mechitza in the middle of davening, and she screamed and she said, "This is not in Yiddish. This is not a shtibel. This is a yeshiva. We don't sing here."
Wow.
Does this sound like my grandmother? I think it does.
Could be. I don't know.
That's a type. Zmirois Yomeru.
Zmirois Yomeru. Yomeru.
Shkaya. So daddy. Ay ay ay.
Hakpada. And Chayamun was like that also. Chayamun probably, back in the day, they didn't sing anything, right? Zero.
I don't remember if Ginsberg ever was there during the Yom
Ne'eron. I wasn't Zerka.
So maybe it was someone else. When I was a little boy, Davin Chayam Berlin, I don't remember anything being sung, nothing. And now, the whole Davin, from beginning to end, is all melody. Nigunim. What happened to Chaim Berlin? What happened to them? They lost it. They just lost it, huh? They couldn't handle it.
Yod Al Pesach. Rakama, it's an expert,
eh? You're going to get me into a lot of trouble. You're going to get me into a lot of trouble.
Yeah. They asked Abish Brot to daven every Yom Tov.
Yeah, he sings.
Yeah, and he made a revolution.
No, it wasn't. I'm talking about Yom Ne'eron. Okay, let's continue where we left off. A lot of these halachas are not nogea us. I really finished the part that I really wanted, but there is one thing that's not natural. Okay. This is only true chaseros, only when you're missing letters. So then you have to add between the lines, you have to add on top. Aval yiseros less lanbok loimah, he explains the chesh, oisios yiseros the suichel gerera, you have to erase. Mutter, it's mutter, afilu harbe, even many mistakes, afilu harbe to usim. Bechol daf, daf. The yirum, you'll erase it. Uve girur loimachse kimnum, does not appear to be minumar. Uve aval kibachaseros, shetzorch lois hachaseros ben ashitin. Many times you have to add the missing letters in between the rows. In the margins, or you have to erase osios hakoidmos lasos osios kitanis. You have to make small miniature letters in order to squeeze it in. Kidei, so that sheyaspik hamakaim, that there should be enough space in the page in order to get the letters in. Gam al oize the oise mishloisha mechsek nimer. This is no good. So therefore, the bottom line here is erasing is good. You have to erase, it's okay, but adding or erasing and then adding and making miniature letters through more than three, it looks funny, it's minumar. Now that would seem to indicate, I'm just guessing now, what would be if you don't have to, let's say you erase and you can correct more than three. The surf makes a lot of spelling mistakes. And the way you're going to correct all the spelling mistakes is you're going to erase the words. And you're going to rewrite the words, but the words are going to be rewritten in the correct size. The letters are not going to be miniature. There's enough space in between the words in order for you to fit everything in perfectly. So you would see that's okay. I mean, that's what I'm extrapolating. What it says over here, it's only when you're doing something that's mishune. The key side is if the ksav is mishune, the letters are miniature, or there are letters that are hanging in between the rows, it's mishune. When it's mishune, three is no good. But erasing, even though there's a smear, it doesn't look the same. As long as the letters appear to be correct, that is fine. Also, if you have one daf, that's complete. Oy rak gimel to os, three is mistake. Shemut to lusaknoi matzil hadaf hazeh al kol hasefer sheim afil b'shoy daf yesh dalet to uros mut lusaknoi kol hasef b'shvil oyser hadaf. The Oymer Sham Oid, the Hu the Ruba the Sifra Shapir Ayin Sham, not so fast. Provided most of the Sefer Torah is kosher. Now, what does that mean? The Inu B'Mkana, he reads, and he doesn't, let's see what he, this is what it says, Sham, where is Sham? In Mesech the Menachas. Okay, now where exactly in Menachas, I don't even recall, but that's what it says there. The Einai Muvin Klal, I don't understand what this means over here. What do I mean? Ha'af, Daf, Echad, Masl, so what do you mean, Roif? Even one daf is matzah. So what does it mean then when it's still here that the majority of the sifra has to be kosher? What does it mean, Rav? V'rash lo perish al zeh klum. So therefore, there seems to be a problem in the Gemara. There seems to be a stira. Mitzad echad, one daf is matzah the entire Sefer Torah. But then it says, you need Rav. Rav has to be kosher. So if one daf is kosher, you don't need Rav. How then do we understand what it says in the Gemara that you need roif? And Rashi here does not comment. Here's the pshat. The daf got kishat usim b'chol daf v'daf einam yoyser me roif ha'oisiyos. Roif does not mean most columns. The entire Sefer Torah can be one daf is matzil an entire Sefer Torah. What does it mean roif? Provided that rov of the oisiyos of the Sefer Torah. In other words, you have every single word is a spelling mistake. If the whole is, there's more spelling, if there are most of the words of the Sefer Torah have spelling mistakes, even though you have one daf, that's going to be matzil, it's not enough. So that's what the Rosh, the daf, shatusim, bechol daf, daf, enam yoyse, me roif, oisiyos, not even the words, the letters, the oz matzil, daf echad, gishem, daf, daf, tuzif. Avalim hashibosh heim b'roif ha'oisiyos. It's very bizarre. I mean, it's really strange. Loi mahani adaf hashem latzil v'tzorach gnizay nitz gnizav yaf v'al pizeh kavonis devar b'shachnoch v'simdalim v'bir zeh gam b'loshin harambam v'yetu ayin sham. That's how you explain Pshat and the Ram. So that's how you answer the stira. We have over here, bottom line over here is, one column can save an entire Sefer Torah that has even more than four mistakes in each single column. And when it says the Gemara Roiv, Roiv means Roiv, Roiv of the Oisyes. Next, Halach, Halach Yudalf. Only as Taiti Hadavarim Tumum, it also doesn't make sense. That's the basis, even if so. Is a Shir Yesh Lezeh, Ledugma, Imba Sora Amudim, Yesh, Roiv of Oisyes Tuyos. The Chola Shora Sefer Torah Abraham Tos Hare Yesh Harbe Yoyser Midaf Echad Shematzilin VeKevon Shata Oimer Shirak Daf Echad Matzilin. For already one daf saves Val Karchach Tzoch Loimar the Levar Hadaf Hazeh. Besides this daf, Chola Sefer Torah Roiv Oisios Mishuboshim VeOz Ena Daf Matzilin. So the daf is not going to be matzil. Numiata Machsa Sefer Ein Bo Tos Umech Machsisa Hasheni Ruba Tous Toyos. We take them all together. Lo yeh ruba shel sefer Torah tos. The majority of the sefer Torah is not going to have a mistake. The oz matzilin daf echad. That one daf will sefer yeshkan harbe yosemi daf echad. The imkain hechem mishkach hastos shehei miuta tos ruba kashera. Veshelo yehei bar rak daf echad kashera levad zasfar tumur kashera. Rav oisios misefer Torah nichtav betos shayoyel adaf echad latzilan. Okay, so the end. Let's work backwards. Work backwards. The last line is very simple. Right? The last line he says is, doesn't make any sense. How could it be that if the majority of the letters of the Sefer Torah are mistaken, one daf is going to be matzil? Come on, the whole Sefer Torah, the majority of the Sefer Torah is full of mistakes. It's not logical that such a Sefer Torah that's going to have so many mistakes. There are approximately 305,000 letters. If you're going to go tell me over here that 150,000 letters are mistaken, it's going to be a kosher Sefer Torah. It doesn't make any sense.
No, I think it's
that's the second thing. What?
You can argue the other way around. Says, even if there are 150,000 mistakes, there must have been three or four, at least a bunch of doubt of them that were good. So what do you mean one doubt?
Is that what he means?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have at least one daf? Okay, fine.
What do you mean one daf?
One daf, you have multiple dafs.
No matter how many tsum you have, you can have a bunch of daf that are kosher.
Okay, then the other thing he says is that if half the Sefer Torah has mistakes, but there's one daf that has no mistakes, so automatically it's going to be more than half the Sefer Torah that doesn't have mistakes. If you need one whole daf, I don't know, he has some mathematical formula.
Same
idea? All right. I don't want to get too involved. Okay, we're going to take too much time. I want to do this over here a few minutes. He doesn't like it. Basically, this thing is very bizarre. Let's just see how he goes through it. The Gam Loshna Rambam Per Gzayin Din Oisiy Beis. Din Yud Beis Einu Morikain. It's not Mashna Rambam. It's Loshna Rambam. Sef Tzor Sheyesh Ba Gimel Tuus B'chol Daf V'daf. Yisakin. Din Ha Yarba. If you have four mistakes, Yigonis. Din Ha Yaroi V'asefer. Most of the Sefer, like we said. Moine V'yashar. Muga. If most of the Sefer is Muga, which means it's correct. The Ashar Yesh by Dalit to Uyos, Behold Daf, Nishar Afilu Daf, Echad, Mausar, Hashar, Hamashubash, Beloy Dalit to Uyos, and you have even one Daf from the remainder that does not have four mistakes, Hareza Yisakin, Ad Kalisha. So it's very clear that there, when he talks about one Daf, it means one Daf amongst half. You have to have more than half. Well, the Fiyar Beinu Habe says, If Loyos Shapah, Halosh and Shal the Ashar, the whole Daf can move, and Vitur Yesh Lechavin, Perushoi, the majority is Meshubash, Lo Yisakin, Afilu Im Yesh Boi Daf Echad, Kuloi, Shalim, Akan Lashoni, Miu, Iker, Perushok, Tumur, Mekamashokosk. Basically, whatever, let's leave, I'm crowded, we'll just leave with this. Oy Su Gimel, Lucheni, El Niestai, Dech Perushok, Vahu, Dixiv, Ruba, the Sifra, Shapir, Kuloimar, Deroiv Dafe Hasifre Torah. Ein buhem to usim klal. So the bottom line is, Orech HaShulchan says, if you have a Sefer Torah, I think there are 240 columns in a Sefer Torah. Is that correct, Rabbi Mayevsky?
Sounds right.
240.
Five on a parsha, 54. So 240 columns,
and how many parshios are there?
54.
What we call parshios,
yeah.
And how many psuchos and stumos? 275. 275. So learn at least some numbers. 275 parshios tumos psuchos, 240 columns, 54 parshios hashavua. How many rios saw there in the Sefer Torah in today's standard?
Eight by three each, usually.
More than three.
Well,
more.
I've seen five. Three, but you have up to five. It's
five.
Like up to five. Not more than five, not
so,
less than three. So,
four,
yeah.
All right. More than four. I think they're more than four. I think it's five.
Depends on the Sefer.
So the Siv the Shaper becomes the Roy of Daf Yasav Torah Yimachem Tuzim Klav V'Chel L'Chein Difer Amar Lashon Shaper Amar Lashon Shaper V'Loish Shleima Ka'al Daf Achas Tohasa Mutu Gam B'Gimel Tuzk Mashakosa V'Vuruba B'Inan Muga Ko Hogin V'Lgamri Kevon She'esham Ne'o Daf M'Chol HaSef Torah Kigoyin. So now he gives an example. Let's say make believe we have a Siv that has exactly 100. That's a very long, tall Sefer Torah, obviously, yes. Right? So just for argument's sake, b'chol ha-Sefer Torah, tzorch shesach nun aleph mehem lo yehei shum shibush. So the first requirement is 51 have to be perfect. 51 columns of this Sefer must be perfect. U'v'sach memtes, and the remaining 49... Sorich daf echad shelo yehei boy dalet uyois. So the other 49, 48 of them can have even 4 mistakes, but there must be one daf of those 49 that does not have more than 3 mistakes. That's the bottom line. How he learned shot in the Gemara.
So from it says there's no. Or actually, it says there's no limit on how many lines you could have in a column.
Okay, right, hold on. Right. He discussed it. There's a certain smin among seif, how many lines we make. The majority must be perfect. That means 51 columns out of 100. Kolomer, roiv daf yasef muga l'gamri v'ashar, zeu miutoi, shel sefer, bedaf, and that's 49. From those 49, one of them may not have more than 3 mistakes. And the other 48 can have more than 3 mistakes. Okay, so therefore that is the bottom line. The bottom line is, to review, recap, we have a stira in the Gemara. The Gemara says one column must be perfect. But then it says, the majority must be perfect. So how do you reconcile these two statements? One column must be perfect, but the majority must. One column is not the majority of the Sefer Torah. So he's mefalpel when it says majority. Does majority mean the majority of the columns? Does it mean the majority of the letters? What does it mean exactly? It's mashma this way, mashma that way. In the Rambam, it doesn't make sense to say like this, like that. The bottom line is his interpretation of these Mamari Chazal is, let's say for argument's sake, we have a Sefer Torah that has exactly 100 columns. The majority of the columns must be perfect. 51 columns must be perfect. What's the minority? 49. Then when it says the minority, one daf, it means, what does it mean one daf must be perfect from the minority? It means one daf of the minority may be perfect and relative to the other columns. It may not have more than 3 mistakes. From the 49 remaining, one column may not have more than 3 mistakes. Exactly. So I told you in the beginning, this is not Nagei Halacha L'Maaseh, but the principle of the Menumer. I just want to go through very quickly, because this is a very important Yisoid, this thing of 3. 3 is called Menumer because it's very practical when it comes to the Esrog. The Esrog has 3 black dots. Esrog is puzzle. And then we discuss over here, what does it mean, Menumer? Is Menumer mean, you see, it doesn't necessarily mean to erase, even though that's noticeable. It means something that's Meshuneh, something that is unique. There's an addition, there is an extra letters hanging between the margin, you wrote letters that are very, very small in size. That's the Yisoid of Menumer. Okay, only from a paragraph, we finish the Simen. Let's see, Yudal. If you have a situation where you have extra letters, it's okay, you just erase it. And you're okay. Ach, kishagoy yarchiv ha'ois shel lefon. We have to be very careful. You go and you erase a letter in the middle of a word, you have to expand, you have to stretch the previous letter. If you have a dalet that's followed by an extra vav, you can erase the vav and you can expand the dalet. However, v'shal achav kitzaf k'dei she'en v'shlo yehev makam agra hefzik v'tev v'zul v'zul likufa. Because if you have an extra space in the middle of a word and it looks like two words, then the Sefer Torah is puzzle. The tev v'hanir is kishnei tev v'savi puzzle. Gomer. What happens if you have an extra, you have a missing letter? And you added more letters. I do have a suffix, one more time, the chaseros, where you're missing letters. If you're stuck in the mistakes, So he's asking me a question. He doesn't really understand the basic halacha. When it says you have three mistakes, what's the problem? Just because you have three mistakes, even though it's not mechudar, why should this be possible? The halacha is you're allowed to add a letter between the lines. So what Rambam lechashva bein apsulim, the Rambam himself did not conclude this among the things that disqualify a sefer Torah. L'chein yelim b'staiti, the im ein sefer Torah acheres kvar tiknua, mutu likur spa, you're allowed to read in it. So those, he said before, those of you have a sefer Torah that has more than three mistakes in each column. So he says you can't be misakin the sefer Torah. That's what it said. Who quoted that? He maybe quoted that from somewhere. I don't know where he quoted it from. Why? Why not? What's the problem? The Rambam does not list this as a disqualification of sefer Torah. And if you're allowed to make a tikkun by eating letter between the lines, so why should there be a limit three more than four? So he does not understand if b'diavad, if you have nothing else to learn from the Aruch HaShulchan Paskin, it's good enough, and you can make a bracha even if in every single column of the Sefer Torah there are four mistakes and you hung letters in between the line in every single column, it's okay.
One of the rationales that I always was under the impression was that there's something wrong with the cipher that wrote it.
He makes so many mistakes. So you want to say he didn't write a lishma? You want to say he didn't write a lishma? So Sof is nechshat. He's nechshat. They did not write. He's not writing. Didn't write a lishma. Okay. The head of the zeh. Let's listen over here. We're four lines down from the top. The header. What's that word over there? The header, if you have one daf, it's matzil the entire Sefer Torah that we mentioned, ein ele kishoya hadaf min kain mikoidem, aval im yirtzalas es daf echad sholem mikhodosh, ein emoil. I have a very simple solution. Take a scissors and cut out, you have a whole Sefer Torah, right? Let's say his calculation. You have a Sefer Torah that's 49, 51 are perfect. And 49 are no good. Each one of the 49 has four mistakes. That's what we said before in the previous paragraph. Right? 51 is good. 49 columns in the Sefer Torah of 100 has four mistakes. So what's halacha pasul? Because you have, from the miut, from the 49, you must have at least one daf that has less than four mistakes. You don't have that. I have a solution. Just take a scissors. Take out one and rewrite, make a new write one column perfectly and stitch it back in. And stitch it in. So now from the meal, from the 49, one column is perfect.
Why do you have to cut out
and
fix it inside?
No, that's exactly the point. You're not gonna fix it inside. If there's a mistake and you fix
it.
Oh, that's what he's asking. So he's asking, take off the urea. That's what he's saying over here. Take off the urea and make a new. No, not fixing. Saying fixing is no good. The fixing is minuma, that's exactly the point. If fixing is not a solution, because when you fix it still looks spotted. And when a Sefer Torah has too many corrections, that itself is a disqualification. Even though after all the corrections have been done, it looks good. That's exactly what we just learned. That the too many corrections itself disqualifies the Sefer Torah. Aruch HaShulchan challenged that halacha. He's saying, I don't understand why that should be. It's good. What difference does it make? That's why it's a b'diavad. You can learn from it. But l'chatchila, it's no good. So he's asking a question. Why can't you just cut out one column that has three mistakes and replace it? And then you'll have the minority will have one column that's good. It'll be matzo. No. That's not fair. That's cheating. That is cheating. You can't do that. That's what he says. V'da, v'rotzo la'avol im, v'da, de'hete de'daf echad, sh'nispar ina ele k'shoh yadaf min ha'kein mikoidim, avol im yirtzo la'asos daf echad sholem mechadosh, einim oil. You can't do that. That's cheating. V'afilu kama yirios chadosh aslo yiv, make new yirios, danan b'inan misefer zem mamish, kasher hu the way it was, the ayin mash amar b'simin tezayin. So you have to have the original. You see over here the whole new idea is the integrity of the Sefer Torah is in its original form by the original one who wrote it with the original collection of Urias. Kosav, yeah?
It seems from this that 51 columns in a row are good.
Are good?
And
all from that on start.
49 no good.
But they are not intermingled.
Right, no, it seems like it doesn't make a difference where they are. It doesn't make a difference. The bottom line, according to Aruch HaShulchan, is you have to have in this Seftar, in our example, has exactly 100 columns, you must have 51 columns that are perfect.
Yeah, but if they are intermingled.
It doesn't make a difference where they are, they
so
can be scattered.
Then your solution is automatically included there.
No, it's not necessarily good. No, let's go back. You have a set that's exactly 100 columns. 51 of them are perfect. Okay, they're perfect, wherever they may be. Now, let's deal with the remaining 49. The remaining 49 in the Sefer Torah all have 4 mistakes per column. The remaining 49 have 4 mistakes. So I corrected the 4 mistakes on every single one of those 49 columns. It doesn't matter. Even though it's been corrected, he's saying that it's no good. Because a Sefer Torah that has too many mistakes is no good. I have a solution. One of those 49 that has 4 mistakes, I'll take a razor, cut it out, and write a brand new column, and put it in and stitch it in. So now how many columns are good? 52 columns. So that's good, perfect. When you have 41, 51, and one of the meters is perfect, that saves the Sefer Torah. He says it's cheating. It's no good. It's too little, too late. You see, at least a very interesting aside is that the integrity of the Sefer Torah is only true when it's in its original form. I told you what they do today. I told you this a few times. Chanos Sefer Torah, brand new Sefer Torah, and the Sefer Torah was not ready. They hired the Sefer to write the Sefer Torah a year in advance, and it came time for the Chanos Sefer Torah. The invitations were sent out, and the caterer was already, the deposit was made, and everything is ready to go, and they have to deliver the Sefer Torah from Eretz Yisrael, and the Sefer says, I'm sorry, I have a family emergency, I was not able to write the last 2 Urias. So what are we going to do? The party was all ready to go. So I went to a beautiful Hachanah Sefer Torah in Lakewood, over the top, no expense was spared, it was over the top in every respect. And I was the only 3 people who knew the secret. The rabbi, the sofer, and the rabbi told me, I'm telling you a secret, he easily told me, maybe no, you know. Let me take a step back. What is the only difference between a secret and something you announce publicly? So Rav Hudna said this. The only difference between a secret and a public announcement. What is the difference between a secret and a public announcement? A secret is something you tell everyone one at a time. That's the only difference. Public announcement, and one shot everyone knows. Secret is, I tell you, to leave it. Let me tell you a secret. No one knows this. Everyone knows it. So I don't know, maybe the rabbi was lying to me. I don't know. But he told me that no one knows this, is that the Sefer Torah wasn't really finished. He couldn't finish the last 2 of the Urias. So they swapped. They took Urias from another Sefer Torah that was in the works, from another Sefer, and they stitched it in. So it's a kosher Sefer Torah. Roiv! Why is it kosher? Why is it Katnayan Minumar? What about the integrity of the Sefer Torah? It was not. The Sefer Torah didn't have the full integrity because it was missing 2 Urias. They swapped someone else's Urias into the Sefer Torah, and they made the last Urias was the real Urias, you know, the layer where they made this part, and they made the Achnas Sefer Torah, and they danced, and they had a suit, and they had speeches, and they had a big fundraising event, and the hulu, and then on Shabbos they lained for it, and about 3 weeks later, the Sefer arrives, and the Sefer, from the local Sefer, gets in the mail, gets the shipment of the Urias. He comes into the shul when no one is looking, and he unstitches the old Urias and puts in the new Urias. So I said to the rabbi, he says, how are you talking? How can you do this? Namisha. This happens all the time. This happens all the time. But what do you learn from this? You learn over here, I never used this, is that the real integrity of the Sefer Torah is in its original form. With its real, you know, it's the same kasav, the real Urias. When you start swapping Urias in and out, it's not really the same.
Okay.
Is
the parashah not in order?
No, of course they're in order. Of course it's in order. Everything is there. Every word is there. It's just not the same.
Well, we
the same.
Learned last week about the kedushas klaf that you have to do it in Shema.
Yeah.
I think
Mishnah Berurah brings that when you do it Lishma, if you haven't used it for Sefer Torah yet, you can cut out the lav for whatever.
Tefillin and mezuzos. As long as it has a higher kedusha, you're allowed to go down. You're allowed to go down to a lower kedusha,
right,
but you can't go to a higher kedusha.
Right. So you that's why you do a kedusha Sefer Torah. There's no higher than that.
That's exactly. You do the Shem Kedusha, but it's.
So then afterwards, you can cut it into whatever you want.
Into tefillin and mezuzos. But if you do it only. What, even Ritzuas or even, right, but if you go for a lower Kedusha, you can't go use it for a higher Kedusha. All right, we're out of time, so let's stop here. We'll do this tomorrow, and then we'll probably start the Mishnah Berurah, take a short break, and then we'll talk about Nichosh, Simone Milsa. This is Parasha, we have Holach Yefam, Hapam, Lekras Nichoshim.